Well, you back. Got a good crowd for a Sunday evening. And we had a wonderful time at the nursing home. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I was reading an article in a magazine called Pitfalls. And I tell you, they're all around us, pitfalls, as far as serving the Lord and the ministry and things of that nature. And he was talking about looking at yourself, and I began to think about evaluation and self-evaluation. And I thought tonight that we'd get a little checkup on ourselves and see where we stand. Sometimes we don't like going and getting checkups. We don't like going to the dentist, don't like going to the doctor. Usually they find out things that are you don't even know you have wrong with you. They bring it up. For instance, the other day when Clay had to go get the x-ray and CAT scan from the football game, the doctors came back and said, well, the brain looks okay, but Pastor, two or three people we scan, we find something else different. So nothing's wrong, but I just want to let you know that his right kidney is way smaller than his left one. But all the blood work looks good. So that's one reason we don't like to go, because they find other things. We go thinking something's wrong with his head, and she comes back and says something's it's abnormal, but it's working fine, functioning well. There, so we don't too much care about doctors on the whole and things of that nature. So I begin to think about it, and sometimes we don't even like to ask God if we're okay with Him, because we really don't want to know the truth. Because if we're honest, we know the truth. You know, if you're not doing right, you know your body. If you're getting headaches all the time and things like that, and getting out of breath, you know something's wrong. You know something's wrong, but you know you don't want to go find out what it is. And so tonight I thought we'd just do a little evaluation of us as we're here at the house of God. I did have something funny I want to tell you before we get started. You remember 2 weeks ago I told you somebody dropped off a goat at the house. And so now we have 3 goats, 2 females and a male. And was a blessing. Wherever it come from, I asked the neighbors and they don't know where it came from. But anyway, I went down and preached in Haines City last Tuesday. And on the way back, I saw a feed store there in Davenport. And I saw a little sign that said, Poultry Days are here. So I went in and they said, well, the new arrivals are not here. They'll be here at the end of the week. But I have some leftovers from some buffs and stuff like that. And so I said, well, let me see them. So I went back there and they were yay big, about like that. And so I got me 4 of them. They had dropped the price to $250. And so I brought them home, put them in I got a little pen off the ground up in the air so that no animals can get at them or anything. Kids play with them. I come home maybe 2 days later and there's 1 chicken missing. And I got to looking around. There's nowhere it could have got loose, got out. The girl said, no, Dad, it was in there last night. And somebody said, well, maybe whoever gave you that goat come back for a chicken. They did an exchange. Oh, I don't know. We gained a goat and we lost a chicken. So I thought that was funny. So I don't know where that chicken went. But anyway, I'm sure the cats are having fun. 2 Corinthians 13 reminds me of that old cartoon of that Sylvester, always trying to get that little Tweety bird. And some people are probably disturbed right now. Just talking about a cat eating a bird. It's just part of the ecosystem. Birds, and the girl said they're not going to eat one of our chickens, but they'll eat chickens from the KFC. Our chickens are far cleaner than those at KFC. 2 Corinthians 13:5. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. Well, I'm telling you, we are in a day of just lackadaisical Christianity. I mean, just apathy has set in, and it's just all over us. If we're not careful, dear friend, we just simply sit down and we're there, but we're like in a coma. We're just there. We see the body, we see, you know, the vitals are there if they hook up a machine, but no real life signs. So tonight, I want, before we get that far, I want to do a little evaluation with us so we can check each other out and check ourselves out, especially with this verse, and examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. So what I'd ask tonight, as we go through this and look at this, ask the Lord, how are you with Him? How's your walk with the Lord? And I'm going to ask you some questions, you know, like a doctor does. I remember one time when I was went to sick call in the military, and there was a E3 there across the desk, and I was sick. I had tonsillitis. My throat was so swollen up, I couldn't even get air hardly down it. And she got out this book and began to ask me questions. And she started question number one, do you have a fever? And I said, well, check and see. I mean, you got the stuff. Yes, I got a fever. So she went over there and followed the line and asked question over there. And no, then followed the line. I said, by the time you finish that book, ma'am, I'm going to be dead. But I'm telling you, this is one book that we need to follow the lines. Precept upon precept. And we need to get in it. We need to look at it. And we need to ask ourselves some serious questions. Some serious questions. You know, sometimes it helps our relationship and our marriages as well if we ask each other some serious questions. You know, sometimes familiarity breeds complacency, doesn't it? Is that what the saying goes? And I tell you this, it also can breed contempt and contention. So ask some serious questions. Ask your spouse. Tell me three things that you just think that just bother you about me. Now be ready for the answer. Some of us are not ready for the answer. Start off like this. Tell me three things that you really like about me. And then ask for the three things. And see, I mean, you know, if you can change them, change them. Why? Because your body's not your own. It's hers, and her body's not her own. It's yours. And we need to ask God some serious questions. Lord, how am I? Here's one question that you can ask yourself. Am I losing the wonder of my salvation? You know, the Bible says that in heaven that there are rejoicing among the angels when one saint comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and salvation? Am I losing that wonder? Do I have a genuine passion for Christ in my life? Or just, I'm saved, on the way to heaven. Have I lost that wonder of that relationship? How the marvelous grace of Christ, so rich and so sweet, so kind and so full, that would reach down and save you and I, just mere dust and worms in the sight of God. Have I lost that wonder? Or am I just going through the motions? We can get that away, can't we? We're just flowing along, doing what we know to do to be right. And the Bible says that for him to know it to do right, doeth not, to him is sin. So we got the scriptures, we got it down, and we're just going through the motions, but there is no wonder of wonders about the Lord Jesus Christ anymore. We're familiar with Him. We've been down the road with Him. We've spent some time with Him. We have gotten over the honeymoon. Listen, guys, you know how it was whenever you was chasing your wife. You'd swim the broadest sea, climb the highest mountain. You would do all that you could, buy 36 roses and give them to her just to get a smell of her perfume as she passed by. Now you won't even get out of your seat to say, "How you doing, honey? I'm glad to see you." Just going through the motions. Have you lost the wonder of what we really have in Christ? Here's the excellence of all His power is held with inside this vessel. Your vessel. Your body. The Holy Spirit of God. All powerful. Have you lost the wonder? Number two, I'd ask you to ask yourself, are you neglecting your relationship with Christ? I mean, we neglect our relationship with each other, and we know we do. We know that we probably have in our relationship, some of us may even have a spouse that has neglected us for a long time by now. But even when we neglect Christ and neglect God, the Bible says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And I'm going to tell you something. Are you neglecting? Well, how would you know? Here's a way to know. Do I have a vital, growing, loving relationship with the Lord? Vital, growing, loving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to look at our life and be serious about this thing and say, hey, am I the same way 5 years, 2 years, 6 months ago? Or is my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, has it gotten stronger? Is it flourishing? Is it growing? Ask yourself, seriously seeking and saying, God, show me. Please help me to know. Is there a desire to cultivate that relationship? Because if there's no desire to cultivate, I'm going to tell you, relationships do not happen accidentally. They don't just all of a sudden, boom, I'm in a relationship. No. No, 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 no. You have to have a desire. There's a famine in the land, dear friend. But I'm here to tell you that there's probably a greater famine amongst God's people for hunger and thirst after the Word of God. We're just talking about an evaluation tonight. Do I stand back in awe and say, how could a God so great as we have save such a worm as I? Or we don't even think about it no more. We've got the principles. I'm eternally secure, Pastor. I'm saved and on my way to heaven, and I know, I know, I know. Are you cultivating, growing, and building a relationship with Christ? Because if we're not, we're neglecting that relationship. You know those saying that a doctor is the last one to go to a doctor? A mechanic's the last one to get his car checked out. An electrician's the last one to get an electrician. You know that old saying that goes like that? Sometimes Christians are the last ones to ask God, am I okay with you? Am I okay with you? Number three, you can ask yourself this. Am I proclaiming truths but not living them out? I wouldn't have nothing but old King James Bible. But old King James, if it ain't old King James, listen, I wouldn't have nothing else. But are we living it out? Or are we, like over in the book of James, we're deceiving ourselves, being hearers of the word only. Living a life of pretense. There's a lot of folks living are prisoners to pretense. Are you proclaiming truths? I know I'm eternally secure. I know, but do we live like we're eternally secure? I know Christ can come back at any moment. But are we living like Christ could come back at any moment? We're proclaiming truths that we're not living. Is there any issue with God that God has revealed to you something in His Word, any issue at all, something in the Word that God Himself, God Almighty, has revealed to you a principle, a precept in the Word of God that you are not living up to? This is the revealed Word of God. The living Word of God. Christ Jesus Himself, the hope of glory, lives within us. And this book is alive. Is my private life inconsistent with my public life? Is my when nobody else is around, but maybe that little select core group, is it inconsistent with the truths I proclaim? I'm telling you, dear friend, if you stand up and proclaim truths, but they are not in effect in your life, dear friend, you are headed for a pitfall. No wonder, I mean, just no amazement at being saved. None whatsoever, neglecting on every front. We'd rather hear good old gospel, Southern gospel, than a preaching message that will convict a heart. Neglecting that relationship because it's not by every song that proceeds out of the songman's mouth, but it's by every word that's proceeded out of the mouth of God. And we get that away. Doing my Christian duty, I'm listening to some good old gospel music. I'm going to tell you, it's not the word of the songwriter that abideth forever, it's the Word of God. And we neglect that relationship. We proclaim those truths. Ask yourself this, could I honestly say to other people, friends, family, foe, live your life the way I would do, I live mine, and God will bless you. Because I'm telling you, there's days in my life, if you lived the way I lived in days of my life, there wouldn't be no blessings of God. Could we honestly say, live like I'm living, and the blessings of God will shower upon your life? Say, preacher, this is exactly why I don't like going to the doctor. They find stuff, got cholesterol now. This is why a lot of Christians, a lot of biblical Christians, a lot of biblical Baptists would rather hear messages on fornication and whoremongering and drunkenness than messages like this. Because most people are not messed up in that kind of stuff, but we are all where I'm at right now. Listen, I'm telling you, it's silent in here as a pin drop. Here's something else you can check out and evaluate yourself. Do you always rely on the natural man? Woo. Be careful relying upon your abilities. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We rely upon the natural man. Now, I'm going to tell you, your life is very evident of whether you rely upon the natural man or the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You are, the things you do, the things you say, how you act, what we do, who we're around, what's important to us, says to others, should scream to ourselves and proclaim to God His place in our life. What is it about my life that cannot be explained apart from the Spirit of God? Is there something in your life that there is nothing, no explanation beyond the power and Holy Spirit of God in my life? Or can everything be explained away? Our ability, our education, our talents. It's all within us. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, we have a supernatural God. If you don't think a virgin birth is supernatural, then something's wrong with you. You've been watching too much Incredibles. Stopping funeral processions and said, "Hey, where y'all going?" He's dead. She's dead. Oh, no. Y'all back up a little bit. And he raised them from the dead. Hanging on that cross, dying and rising again the third day is supernatural. And Paul said that I might know Him in the power of His resurrection. Well, preacher, you know, that was pretty good stuff for old Jonah. That was an amazing thing. That same amazing God that put Jonah in the belly of that whale and caused that whale to spit him up 3 days later and allowed Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach and save that whole city is the same God that saved you and I. We lose the wonder of our salvation. It just doesn't move us anymore. Doesn't move us. We neglect that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ constantly. We don't cultivate it. We proclaim truths in our lives that we ourselves do not hold up and live to. We rely upon the natural man when we ought to be walking in the Spirit of God. And we're constantly, constantly leaving the pathway of humility. It's all in pride. All in pride. Don't have a teachable spirit. It's a pitfall. You know, the Bible says, let man not think himself more highly than he should. Don't have a teachable spirit. It's a pitfall. You're in trouble. Can't nobody teach me nothing. I know everything there is to know about the Word of God. Then is your life proclaiming that as you live day by day? You listen, anybody can be a teacher, but not everybody can be a student. From the least of these little ones running around here, they can teach us something. Them little old bitty kids on that bus coming in here, and them kids in our church, they can teach us something. But not everybody's a student. You know, when you're leaving the pathway of humility, you don't have a servant's heart. You always wanted to be waited on. You always want somebody to serve you. When that happens, you left the pathway of humility. The Bible says that He'd give us more grace. You know, it also says in the same passage, He resisteth the proud. He resisteth the proud. You know, when you leave the pathway of humility, dear friend, I'm going to tell you, you'll always esteem yourself higher than others. You know, we are to be a builder up of people, perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry. Build them up. Not tear them down. Not kick them down when they fail and when they make mistakes. But listen, cultivating in them a spirit of love and compassion and concern and esteeming them higher than yourself. Aren't you amazed that God would even use us? I mean, evaluate your own life and say, Lord, You're using me. Surely, You can use somebody else. I mean, used a rooster to speak to Peter, a donkey to speak to Balaam, and He uses us. And when we get to thinking that God owes us, we've left that pathway of humility. Are you just satisfied with the status quo? This is number 8 if you're keeping count. Just evaluating ourselves. Are we satisfied with the status quo? Or am I exercising the faith that's within me by adding to that faith? Is it our desire, and it should be our desire, that when we reach the Bema seat of Christ, that we hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But I want to tell you, dear friend, if you're satisfied with the status quo of life, well, I'm just as good as the Christian next to me, and I'm just as good as him, you got the wrong measuring scale, my dear friend. The one that we're to measure up to and the one that we're to reflect, the image that we are to reflect is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I dare say that we'll never get close to equaling what we should be. But yet He still uses us. Still desires to have us in His work. There ought to be time. Listen, the status quo isn't going to cut it. We're to occupy till He comes, and we're to be about the Lord's business, about the Lord's work. We should be reevaluating our lives and the vision we have from God. Evaluate. Lord, help me to see through Your eyes. As the New Testament says, enlarge my faith. And ask yourself. Ask yourself this question. Don't answer it. What are we believing God for right now? What are we believing God for right this moment? Should be answers in your head. Should be answers in your head right now. that if I was to ask and boldly ask you to stand up and say, preacher, this is what I'm believing God for right now, you should be able to stand up. Or do we believe that God cannot do all things? Number seven, are you serving God without love? Are you serving God without love? Is the service I put forth genuinely wrought about because the love of Christ constrains me? Do I genuinely love others? You know, the Bible says that this is a test of salvation. I know that I've passed from death unto life, Brother Lee, because I love the brethren. That's a mark. That's a birthmark of a Christian. Is that I've passed from death unto life because I love the brethren. Do I genuinely have a love and compassion for others? Are we self-centered or Christ-seekers and Christ-centered? There's enough of this foolishness, censor, save it, whatever that phony, baloney stuff is. What's the saying about being a sensitive church for the lost? Seeker sensitive. We need to be Christ-sensitive. And I'm going to tell you, if we're Christ-sensitive, we will be sensitive to the lost of this world. We'll see them through the eyes of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, He messed around with a lot of folks that were not smooth as ice. They were pretty rough cut. Just the lady from Jericho's one at the well. Tried marriage 6 times, didn't work out. And then He sent her into the city and she wasn't told every man. He was more concerned. She was more concerned with Christ and what He could do. When you do the self-evaluation, have you lost the wonder of your salvation? Are you neglecting that relationship with Christ? Are you proclaiming truths that you're not living out? Are you relying solely upon the natural man? If so, you're going to fail. You'll get wore out and you'll be tired. Have you veered off the pathway of humility? Just whatever happens, happens. Is that okay with you? Just serving just because. No wonder you're tired, church. No wonder your relationship is breaking down with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a God of love. We got to serve with love. Do you lose perspective? Do you listen? Sometimes that happens. We forget why we're here. We get carried away with the whims of society and culture. Listen, does my life demonstrate the powerful God which saved us and changed us? That's what the Scripture says. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. All things become new. Have I lost perspective of why I'm still here? Hey, if I'm not left here to do something for Christ, why didn't He take us home when He saved us? Because He has a job for us. Do you realize when you face problems in your life, the way you face them shows whether or not you believe God is capable of helping you or not? I mean, sometimes when problems come up in our life, if we're not careful, we're overwhelmed and we just want to we want to throw up our hands, pull out our hair, and throw our dentures on the floor. We have a God. He's not in a rocking chair. He is all powerful. When you've done all that you can to stand, the Scripture says what? Stand therefore. We lose perspective. And here's the last one, dear friend. Number 9. Are we constantly seeking comfort and convenience? Are we constantly seeking comfort and convenience? You know what the Scripture says in the New Testament and the Gospels? If any man follow me, let him what? Take up his cross. Ain't too convenient, is it? It's not convenient. In this thing with God, dear friend, there's going to have to be some self-denial. There has to be some self-denial. In other words, I'm going to have to surrender my rights to my life. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Whatsoever we do, let us do it heartily as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeking comfort. Convenience. I know it's not convenient to come back to church Sunday night. I know it's not convenient to come back to church Wednesday night. I know it's not convenient to come to visitation and pass out tracts and go out and spread the gospel. But those are truths that are in the Word of God. Forsake not the assembly of yourself together. Go ye into the highways, to the hedges and the byways, and beckon them to come in. Those are truths that are in the Word of God. I understand it's not comfortable talking with people about eternity. But if we don't stand up and talk, they're going to spend eternity in a devil's hell. Well, preacher, we have internet, television evangelists. We have more internet messages, more television evangelists than we've ever seen in our life, and more of the world going to a hell in a handbasket than we've ever seen before. The Word of God says, how can they hear unless a preacher be sent? Not a click and follow this link. Just a self-evaluation. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. Just a self-evaluation, church. You cannot convince me that our Sunday morning crowd does not love God and believe that God loves him, loves them. I thank God for what He sends to us on Sunday night, Sunday morning. But somewhere along the way, they failed to do a self-evaluation. It wasn't convenient no more. You know why churches don't have Sunday, Wednesday night service? It's not convenient. You know why they don't have Sunday night service? Just not convenient. Ask any one of them. My people won't come back because they have to drive too far. They work too long. But they'll go to Gainesville on Saturday night and tailgate from 5 o'clock in the morning, fight traffic after a football game, get home at 2 in the morning, wake up at noon, and go to the restaurant. Got convenient to go to the restaurant while their stomach got growling, while they're relying on the fleshly man, the spiritual man. Church, if we want to be used of God, we're going to have to ask God some serious questions. How am I? Not Brother Victor, not Brother Raul, not Sister Pam, not Sister Lisa. How am I with you?